Want to learn how to be an entrepreneur?
You are dedicated and devoted to a life of developing new ideas and innovations, willing to take calculated career risks, achieving independent wealth and success. Then you are ready to experience the entrepreneur effect. We'll highlight opportunities for entrepreneurs in digital marketing through interesting, practical, and thought-provoking interviews and monologues. Increase your income and be your own boss by listening to The Entrepreneur Effect. Please welcome your host, a 25-year veteran in sales, management, and business development, Dush Ramachandran.
Hi, and welcome to Entrepreneur Effect. This is Dush Ramachandran. And we've been on a bit of a hiatus over the last two or three weeks, but I'm delighted to say that we're back. And we have a special guest today, and that is Scott Binns, who is the author of the new book, Principles to Fortune, and he's also the founder and CEO of Redheaded Rebel. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Wonderful. So, I was looking at your book, Principles to Fortune, and it was really very interesting. You've got some nice comments from Chip Connelly. I like Chip's work, Emotional Equations, and a bunch of other stuff like that. So he's been really good. So very quickly, what is Principles to Fortune? Help our readers, listeners understand what the premise of the book is.
Ultimately, it's about crafting a culture to grow your business, and it's about the real truck story of how we kind of went from a basement to 100 million in sales, and how once we got the culture right, that's what really led to growth, fulfillment, and kind of becoming an icon for how companies should treat customers, partners, and employees. And we kind of share how we fumbled our way into discovering that through trial and error, because we tried to get the culture right and failed the first time and kind of got it better the second go around.
Okay. So let's start with your origin story. How did you get started? How did you come to found Real Truck? And so what was the business of Real Truck? And then what brought you to write this book? Let's start at the beginning, if you don't mind.
I guess I've always kind of... I didn't really describe myself as an entrepreneur until probably about a year after I sold Real Truck. But my whole life, I've kind of dabbled in different businesses, whether it was selling greeting cards door-to-door or some of the other things I've done along the way. But I had a business called Northwest Representation, which was a manufacturer's rep firm. We represented about 15 truck equipment manufacturers, called on dealers. And how Real Truck began was I was trying to figure out an easier way to sell products rather than setting up one dealer at a time, doing one trade show at a time. And I'd ordered some office supplies from Staples.com in 1998, and I thought, we just did a video on a product that I was representing, a pickup cover. And I thought, what if we put this video on a website? Could we sell it? And that's kind of how Real Truck began. I went to the factory and said, hey, do you want to sell your product online? They said, no. I started going to brick-and-mortar stores, asking them if they wanted to, if I helped them get a website going, did they want to sell products online? They said no. And so my initial Real Truck vision was that it would be a prototype for brick and mortar pickup truck accessory stores to sell online.
Okay.
Of course, I was terrible at selling that idea, but Real Truck took off, so to speak.
So what was the business of Real Truck? Was it Real Truck? Did you sell your own truck accessories, or were you sort of a marketplace for other people that manufactured and truck accessories and wanted to sell them through you?
We weren't a marketplace per se, but we sold products that other companies manufactured, and they would ship them. And so the first products were from manufacturers I had a relationship with as a rep, as an independent rep.
Right.
and that become the basis. And then ultimately, we essentially, our business partners were the manufacturers, and we essentially sold, and the manufacturer would drop ship the product to the customer.
Okay, so it was basically an e-commerce store for truck accessories.
Yep, pickup
accessories. Okay, great. Yep. And so you started that, grew it to several million dollars, and then you sold that company. So talk to us about the culture journey that you're talking about. In the book, you have some nice examples, but anecdotally, so what was the push to create a culture? How did it go wrong, and how did you fix it?
Great questions. I was kind of in the, you have the excitement of creating a business, and it started in my basement, and we were growing, and it was fun, and we sold 100,000 and 500,000 and 1 million and 2 million and 3 million, and so we were doing some really cool stuff, and I noticed some things about work that people kind of played off of what they thought I might do. So an example is, I remember one time a customer service rep took a phone call, and something happened with a package where the carrier ran over it, and the rep turned to me and asked me what he should tell the customer. And I thought, well, tell the customer we will ship them out another one, and we'll take care of it. All be good. And we're sorry for the inconvenience, and we want to do whatever we can to make it right. And I got to thinking about that along with I had other friends that seemed they had, like, great personal values, but at work struggled with putting their personal values at work for fear of losing their job. And so I kind of noticed that I could have told that CS rep about anything and they would have probably done it, right?
Sure.
So why did they need to ask me such a basic question, which was an obvious answer to me? And so along the journey, I had a friend that worked in pharmaceutical sales rep. And they would kind of, the laws change, and it was harder to see doctors, and yet they would collectively as a group of reps all look like they're seeing lots of doctors when they weren't. So the corporate's getting bad information, but they're keeping their job, and they all feel like they're honest people, right?
Sure.
And so this kind of baffled me of why do you have this disconnect? Obviously fear of job and financial insecurity and a lot of other things. Well, when we were about 8 million in sales, we were like more employees, more customers, more. We seemed like we were in this endless pursuit of more for no stated reason. It was cool we'd gotten as far as we'd gotten, but just seeking more sales, more products, more customers, more employees for no stated purpose seemed like it was inadequate for me personally.
Okay.
And I thought I'd become aware of Zappos and their work culture, and I thought that it was kind of cool, and that was when we kind of like, I want to be useful, and what can we, Real Truck's probably my biggest opportunity to be useful to the world, so how can we be like on a mission to make people's lives better? And was kind of how it started for looking for more purpose than just selling more employees, more, like, can we become an icon for how companies should treat customers, partners, and employees? And when I looked at Zappos, I thought, oh, this is really cool. But I thought, well, Tony Hsieh sold a company for $240 million. He's an Ivy Leaguer, very smart, lots of talent around him. Can this little company from North Dakota do this? And I woke up one morning and I thought, like all inspiration, it's you got to act on it quick because
sure,
it's not going to last. I was like, why not? Why can't we? Why can't we really focus on culture and be on this mission to deliver more to our customers, partners, employees? And so I wrote some guiding principles, slapped them on the wall, handed them out to everybody, made printed cards, and a year later, nobody embraced them. And I was like, disappointed because I had written them because I wanted people to be, you know, empowered and to do things, and it was like just we didn't get it into the culture at all. And I took a step back and I thought, going back to that customer service story and people having their own personal values, I asked the entire company what were the values they tried to live by. And I got all this feedback and I started bucketing their answers. And we came out with guiding principles that were a reflection of all the principles that everybody at RealTruck has.
Okay.
And deliver more, transparency rocks, improve, include fun, take risks, and be humble was where those guiding principles came. And we kind of rolled them out one at a time and didn't put them on the wall. And
that's
until
key.
We started practicing them.
Yeah. Excellent. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Scott Bentz. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more of the Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Content Marketing World 2018 comes to Cleveland, Ohio, September 4th through the 7th. Learn more at contentmarketingworld.com. Content Marketing World 2018 is the one event where you will learn and network with the best and brightest in the content marketing industry. Content Marketing World will have over 120 sessions and workshops presented by the leading brand marketers and experts from around the world, covering strategy, storytelling, ROI, demand generation, AI, and more. Leave Cleveland with all the materials you need to build a content marketing plan that will grow your business and inspire your audience. Save $100 off of registration using promo code RADIO100. That's radio and the number 100. Don't miss Content Marketing World 2018 in Cleveland, Ohio, September 4th through the 7th. Register now at contentmarketingworld.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You are experiencing the Entrepreneur Effect. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
Welcome back. This is Dush Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Scott Bentz, who is the author of the new book, Principles to Fortune, and he's also the founder of Redheaded Rebel, having previously started, grown, and sold RealTruck.com. So, Scott, before the break, we were talking about guiding principles. But from what it sounded like, excuse me, it sounded to me like fundamentally in answer to that question that your customer service rep asked you, which is, what should I do in this situation? I think it just came down, don't you think it just came down to empowerment?
Yes. Ultimately, believing one was empowered. And so the guiding principles became guides to help make decisions. And again, they were how we got the guiding principles into the culture was with questions, you know, like our deliver more principle of delivering more to customers, partners, or employees. We started with, like, where are we not delivering more to customers? Where are we not delivering more to business partners? Where are we not delivering more to employees? What can we do to deliver more? What can I do personally to deliver more to those respective to my coworkers, to our customers, to our business partners? And we started getting that information back and kicking it out company wide. And then I think the real magic was at the management meeting. I asked this came from Chip Conley, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But I asked the department managers to shout out someone in their department for practicing the guiding principles of Deliver More and cite an example, along with to shout out someone outside of their department for practicing a guiding principle. And from there, so all the leaders within the company would do that, and then I would take that information and kick out a video once a week that we shared with the whole company of these shout-outs.
Okay.
And it helped connect the dots on living examples of what it is to deliver more to a customer or a business partner or a coworker. And over time, you had an entire company of catching people doing things right and praising them for it. And that's what, like, really unleashed the power of business growth and fulfillment and having a good time at work and all of those things that were to come.
Right. Now, so this all sounds, it's great stuff, and I'm glad you did it, and it certainly sounds like it made a big difference to Rail Truck and so on. But this is really very much what Tony Hsieh talks about in his book, Delivering Happiness. And I'm sure you've read the book, and I'm sure you've been to Zappos headquarters in downtown Las Vegas and looked at their campus and everything like that. So for our audience that's probably read Tony Hsieh's book as well, what's different about your book from Tony Hsieh's book? I mean, what's new?
I think what is new is a couple of things. We did it from North Dakota with no Ivy Leaguers, with no money, with no access to resources that someone like Tony Hsieh would do. Just an average, everyday entrepreneur creating a game-changing business. And also how to actually get the principles into a culture. You know, Good to Great talks about what great businesses do. Great information. Chip Conley's book and what some of the things that peak where great companies get their mojo. Awesome information. But how do you actually do it? How do you actually get principles, principal motive, so to speak, driving your business rather than purely profit motive driving your business? And I share the actual process we went through of getting the principles into the Rail Truck culture. The questions we asked, and you know, there's probably 50 things anybody could do to improve their business in the book right now that comes from the feedback I got from the employees at Rail Truck. And through each of those principal process. So I think it's kind of written in the perspective of an average person with not a lot of resources and from just anywhere America, not Silicon Valley, not access to multi-millionaires and billionaires when you need money.
Sure.
Which okay. You know, it's how you do it with what you have.
Sure. So you'd say Principles to Fortune is more of a practical how-to, down-to-earth, sort of very simple cookbook approach to bringing principles into your organization on a day-to-day basis, creating the culture and making it grow in an everyday style company. And that's I think very valuable. Now, as I'm sure you know, when Tony Hsieh started Zappos, he had a little bit of money, but most of it was built from the ground up. I mean, basically, they started by going to Nordstrom's, buying all the shoes, bringing it back to their warehouse, and shipping it to customers. And that's as crappy as you can get. And then they started to build relationships with, in a different shoe manufacturers, and then building relationships with UPS for shipping, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you're talking about something very, very similar. So that's really great. So we've got 3 minutes to go in this segment. What are some of the things that you've found that when you tried to create a culture within the organization, where did you trip up? What are some of the pitfalls that business owners need to look out for when they're trying to build a culture?
I think it's ask questions. It all starts with questions more so than statements. I think a lot of times you put, hey, go deliver more to our customers, and here's an action item of 15 things, versus if you start with, you know, where are we at, and ask the organization what we can do, you're going to get way better answers. And the cream rises to the top. And then I think you share those things too, you know, where we're in a world where transparency is king. And so when you have that information, good or bad, you kind of get it out there because it empowers people. And I think you also have to be willing to make mistakes, because in order to really create innovation, you have to take risks, of which you're going to have some failures along the way. And so I think you have to have an environment of embracing taking risks and having an awareness you're going to fail. I think oftentimes cultures, or businesses, they have values, they stick them on the wall, but they never ask any questions around them, or use them as guides to, are we meeting this standard or not?
So in implementing these principles, I'm sure you tried to bring all of the different people into, all of the people at different parts of the organization into the concept of these principles. And as you said, you developed these principles based on talking to people and having them tell you what the core principles ought to be, and then you kind of evolve the principles, the guiding principles, from what came back. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, and obviously there was some crafting of it too,
sure,
of a reflection of what I wanted as a business, and moving some of the feedback into those buckets, have you, those principles of how they lined up, how people's personal values lined up with the values of the business.
Nice. And of course, then the key thing, I think, is that you rolled out the principles one at a time, rather than printing all six of them up on a bunch of posters and putting them all over the office. You rolled them out one at a time so that people could focus on each of those principles at one time. And then eventually when all six had been rolled out, now everybody's familiar with them, and they've acted according to those principles in the time gone by.
Right. And then you keep nurturing it. So we,
sure,
still, even though we rolled them out initially where we focused on one for every 2 months, we would refocus those things periodically as well, where we would really dive deep into each principle for a few months ongoingly, so to speak, because
okay,
you got to nurture, you have to keep nurturing it.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Scott Bentz.
Stay tuned for more of the Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content
hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing,
thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email brasco@wmr.fm and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
You are experiencing the Entrepreneur Effect. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
Welcome back. This is Dush Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Scott Bintz, who is the author of the new book, Principles to Fortune. And he's also the founder of Redheaded Rebel and the previous founder and CEO of Realtruck.com, which he founded, grew, and sold. For quite a lot of money. So Scott, as we've talked about, you've had the experience of building something from scratch, growing it, selling it, starting another business, and so on. What are you most excited about for the future?
One of the reasons I wrote the book was I kind of had some people asking me, hey, you should share the Real Truck story. And I was like, well, I'm not a writer. I can't do that. And then I got to thinking about it. And then I decided, I wanted to kind of evolve, like, what could, based on my experience, what could I do maybe to make business better? Like, if we got to help companies evolve their culture and made business a little bit better rather than kind of corporate cutthroat America, if there's some little things we could do on a grander scale with your average everyday entrepreneur, that I think it was a bigger win. So I'm kind of excited about what, because oftentimes, again, when you, like Tony Hsieh, I love Tony Hsieh and some of the things he's done and the things I've learned from him, but there is a disconnect when you compare your average everyday entrepreneur with a Tony Hsieh, who's very intelligent, has a lot of connections, that kind of thing, versus someone like myself in Jamestown, North Dakota, population 16,000, right?
Right.
I don't have any Ivy League friends that have or have any point being of, like, if we can help make business culture a little bit better, smaller business. Oftentimes people think business culture is like a big corporate thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It can start with a two-person office, three-person office, because if you focus on it, it will be the kind of business that you will come to love rather than a business that you will come and it will be a chore.
Right. Sure. That makes sense. So the book, Principles to Fortune, is available wherever books are sold?
You can get it online everywhere, Audible, there's ebook format in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, principlesoffortune.com, and then we're working on Barnes & Noble bookstores. You can order it there, but it's not in, other than in this region around North Dakota, it's not in the store. You'd have to special order it from Barnes & Noble.
But you could get it on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
Yes.
Very good. And then you mentioned that Redheaded Rebel works with e-commerce companies, and it's an agency that helps e-commerce companies. If any of our listeners are interested in working with Redheaded Rebel, what's the best way in which they can engage with you?
They can look us up online, redheadedrebel.com, and contact us that way or give us a phone call. We tend to advise and coach businesses that want to kind of go from manufacturing to e-commerce. And then we do have our other e-commerce operations, RHRBrew.com, Coffee, which is coffee for entrepreneurs, a coffee brand for entrepreneurs, and RHR Swag, which is a kind of a racing website. And so we have some branding going on there as well. And then again, coaching manufacturers on how do you go from your old school distribution of dealers and that kind of thing to e-commerce, to helping you connect with your customers any way they want it without disrupting your brick and mortar dealer base too badly.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Well, Scott, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure our listeners would be interested in checking out the book, Principles to Fortune, Crafting a Culture to Massively Grow a Business. So check it out. Scott, thank you. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.